The one thing, I don't think I've ever won a series that wasn't a game seven. So, you know, that's kind of the next step, is closing out a series without exerting too much energy, without taking it to seven games, and taking care of business when you do have a lead like this. But, you know, we know what to expect going into Portland. They're such a tough team. They play so hard, especially at home. You know, they're well coached, so they're going to come out, you know, feel their home crowd and have a lot of confidence.
Blake, you and DJ are probably one of the most dominant 4-5s in the business. How important is it for you guys to keep on imposing your will and attacking them inside?
I think it's important for us to just be solid and execute our game plan. I think, you know, controlling guys like CJ and Damian is not a, it's not a guard thing, it's not an individual thing, it's a team thing because of how good they are. So, you know, DJ's done a great job in pick and rolls. They continue to do a good job with rotations. And then, you know, not allowing guys like Ed Davis, Mason Plumlee, who play so hard, crash the boards hard every time, Chris Kaman, you know, those guys to have a huge impact. But, like I said, I think our whole mindset should just be solid, you know, and dominate in that way.
That's the sound of the playoff horn. This is Clipcast. I'm Chris Wild. Here, as always, is the Jaguar.
Mike Jaglin.
Playoffs? Playoffs. I like what Blake just said, Jag. He's never won a series in less than seven, ever. Now he's got a chance to. I'm seeing laser focus on these guys. I'm in the press conference hearing Doc, hearing Chris Paul, JJ, DJ. These guys don't sound like a team that's won by a combined 41 points. They sound like a laser-focused squad looking to go to Portland and close them out in far less than seven.
They haven't clicked on all cylinders. And yet they've kept Portland under 100 two straight games.
One by 20 game one, one by 21 game two.
I mean, this two-headed monster of CJ and Lillard
have been contained.
I mean, Sun looks like a Sun. And it's been what we kind of expected.
Are you saying Sun, the Hooper baby?
Yes. Yes.
See, I didn't get your reference at first.
Yes. He's not dropping dimes.
Kevin Love is the Sun. He's like the tween Sun.
He's baby. Baby.
He's a baby. Sun is very confusing.
He's baby. Well, the Sun's playing well for the Cavs.
Baby's got a stinky diaper right now because they are not playing well.
Well, they're going to take it to Portland.
I saw their press conference, and basically they were saying, like, you know, we've been right in there for three quarters. So, in a nutshell, if these NBA games weren't four quarters, it would be anybody's series. Here's the thing. You got to play four quarters, 48 minutes of basketball. The Clips have won by a combined 41 points in two games, multiple 20-point slobber knocker victories at home. How great has the crowd been? You sat up in the 300s tonight.
I was with Anthony in 306.
With his Clippers tattoo. You tweeted a beautiful picture of
Unbelievable.
Him. Unbelievable. Great fan.
I mean, the vibe's been great.
Incredible.
You could tell in that last Memphis game that the fans were going to bring it.
Right.
And it's been to a whole
nother
level.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. And
because there are a smattering of Portland fans there.
There are, but I mean, the Portland fans don't travel like the Dubs fans or Chicago fans.
Right.
But what this team has been able to do is just control them on the glass as well. I mean, that was
rebounding bench in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And game one, we out-rebound them. Game two, we're right there tied with 52 rebounds, same as them.
This is the number one offense, one of the, I don't know if they're number one, we're one of the top offensive rebounding teams in the league. And the Clips have done a phenomenal job taking away a lot of those second chances.
Absolutely.
And especially not allowing any of these other guys to get going, especially the top two, which we've talked about.
What's impressed you most so far? We're up 2-0. What's impressed the Jaguar the most from this Clippers playoff squad?
It's the bench.
The bench was phenomenal last night.
It's the bench, hands down.
Did they come out and go on like a 10-0 run?
Well, I...
Stone Cold Aldridge get a new nickname? Coltrane?
Coltrane. Ride the Coltrane.
Oh, man, I need to throw in a train noise on this one.
The Toothless Wonder is my
Coltrane.
The Coltrane.
Stone Cold. Toothless Wonder is according to your wife.
But the bench, played the way that a team needs him when things aren't going well. And this, right. I mean, the starters did not look great this evening. The ball movement was not there, and the spacing was not there. But the bench really catapulted them. And where would this bench been last season? I mean, we've talked about this.
We had 2.5 people on the bench. I'm not living in the past, Jack. I am living in the now. I'm looking forward to the next game. What can we expect? I mean, obviously, it's a must-win for P-Town. And those guys are going to be going crazy up there, the Oregonians in the Rose Garden or whatever they call it there, looking up at their hustle board.
The Moda Center.
The fans are going to be loud and proud. They need that win. I don't think they get it.
Game 3 is always the scary one.
I don't think they get it, Jack.
I don't either, but Game 3 is a scary one. We were talking before the cast. I kind of, the way I look at Portland is they're a good team.
Right.
But they're kind of ahead of themselves. And the Clippers in 2012, remember, were down 2-0 against San Antonio.
Right.
Came back, jumped on San Antonio, and then San Antonio just finished them out. And that's what the Clippers have to do.
You're talking about years and years and years.
But that was, if you look at...
That was 5 seasons ago.
But that was, again, the whole course of Chris Paul and DeAndre and Blake.
Right. When San Antonio swept us bajillion years ago.
Yep.
When we had Vinny Vidi Vici.
Yep. And Randy Ford.
This is the best a Doc Rivers playoff team has looked in the postseason. This is the only Doc Rivers Clippers team to be up 2-0 ever.
Well... And Doc has said it, like, you're going to need those games in the playoffs when your starters aren't giving you what you really expect, because the bench has really come on. I mean, again, Jamal doesn't have to worry about just being Jamal all the time. Austin has been bringing it. He had 13 the first game, and what do you have, 9 tonight?
He's played 11 guys in both those games. He's not taking his top 8 and making a run. He's taking his top 11 and making a run.
And... basically, the core four haven't played. Have they played? They haven't played over 32 minutes this entire series.
Jack, has the student become the master? If you want to look back in the Clipper rearview mirror, I want you to look all the way back when DeAndre Jordan was the backup center for Chris Kaman. Chris Kaman's actually played some pretty good, like, enforcer minutes.
Yeah.
Going out there, Captain Kaman, and just with his, like, club,
enforcer,
and
just
trying to beat people.
DeAndre, shoot!
But the student has become the master. I mean, DeAndre Jordan is just lights out.
The caveman's years are behind him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
love me some
I
Chris
wanted
Kaman.
To talk to caveman. That's one of the things I really kind of wanted to do.
Darn it, I forgot to go. I know. I forgot to go with you.
Because that would have been great. But,
I would have asked him about the cold soup.
No, but I don't think they've probably gone to him enough, because this team really misses Myers-Leonard.
Right.
Myers-Leonard is more or less their stretch four that can basically shoot. A lot of their big guys aren't shooters. So you're relying on CJ, Dame, Alan Crabb, Aminu. You're hoping he gets hot.
Right.
Looking back to Kaman, we have Aminu and Kaman. We're both part of that Chris Paul trade.
That's right.
And now they're against him in the first round. But... if their shooters aren't shooting and making, it's going to be a long series.
I don't think it's going to be a long series. I think it's going to be a long series.
A long offseason.
It's going to be a long summer,
yes.
My friend. You had a chance to talk to Doc Rivers. Let's listen to it now.
Doc, you're up 2-0 going to Portland. You still can build. And
yeah.
Are easy buckets and ball movement something that you guys must improve?
Yeah, I mean, today it was – I thought in game one we had ball movement, we had spacing, and we got easy buckets. I thought tonight, I keep going back to the second group got ball movement and easy buckets, and the first group didn't get that. And so we have to improve. We have to.
Doc Rivers has got to like what he sees right now from the whole squad. He didn't sound like a guy who was resting on his laurels. Oh, we just creamed these guys by a combined 41 points. It's laser focus. It's get the job done. It's the champs are looming. What I like right now in the whole playoff picture is that San Antonio, Los Angeles, Golden State are winning decisively. Not so much for the other team in the West, OKC.
No, that's true. And they're winning decisively, meaning the Clippers, yet Blake didn't have a great game 2.
No.
He had a great game one, and he had an unbelievable dunk, though. Elusive. Unbelievable dunk.
Oh, me, oh, my fans.
Chris Paul has been Chris Paul.
Boom, shakalaka.
Chris, again, you don't see it all the time, but what he's done with to Dame has been phenomenal.
What Luke Mbah-a-Mute has done to CJ.
Yeah. I mean, Luke, we get on him because offensively he just doesn't
I don't get on him. Saw the number one offensive team two seasons come up short.
In game two, they had a Minu on Chris Paul because they knew they could hide with someone on Mbah-a-Mute.
Right.
When we get to that next team,
sure,
it's going to be a different story. Then I think it's going to be more of a chess match with Luke. But right now, you can get away with it. DJ has been playing great. He's killed these guys on the boards in the regular season.
Absolutely.
What did he get this evening?
DeAndre Jordan. Last
night. What did he get last night?
Last night, 18 big caroms, rebounds, pull him down off the glass, including 5 offensive rebounds.
In the regular season, he averaged 16.5 against these guys.
Beautiful.
I mean,
outpacing his average. Last night, got 18.
But looking at the bench, I mean, Cole Aldridge.
Coltrane.
He's really been that kind of X factor ever since he was inserted.
Yes.
And no minutes for Paul Pierce.
None. I think or it's Pablo. A trump card. I think it's
I agree.
I think he got banged up late at the end of the regular season. Rest the man.
That's when you're scared.
You don't need him. I ain't scared.
No, when you're scared, you bring in Paul Pierce.
You know what I liked about last night's game, Jack? The only time we were down was after the first basket of the game. We had the lead for the rest of the game. Portland kind
they
of
chopped
squeaked
away.
In to get, you know,
6-4
within single digits, but never within a basket, never close, never took the lead. And then we've just been finishing them in the fourth quarter. And with limited minutes for our starters, I mean, we all remember Chris Paul got banged up last year versus San Antonio, had to play big minutes, couldn't play that first couple games versus Houston. I think he missed 3 games or something. And, you know, we ended up splitting it in Houston.
It's like I just said, you know, none of the starters have played over 32 minutes in the first 2 games. It's huge.
Beautiful.
And these guys, meaning the Trailblazers, are having to work for everything.
Right.
You know, it's not that easy. And what was the stat you were talking about? You heard from Brian Seaman that Dame and McCullough put up the most shots, but they also get blocked a lot, right?
Once they come in the paint, they get the most blocked of any backcourt. Sure, they've got those jump shots, but if they come in the paint, they're getting blocked.
It's because they don't have people that can space it out.
That's right.
You know, you don't have that little dish that you can, you know.
The Clippers look like a complete team. The Clippers look like they've got 11, 12 guys, and that's not even including Pablo.
They look like a machine, but they're not well-oiled yet. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you've got
something to
work with.
What,
you
want to win by 30?
It's not about that. It's
greedy Jaguar.
Getting back to, you know, what I asked Doc about ball movement and easy buckets.
Right.
That's one of the things that they lack that they can improve on, meaning the first unit.
Right.
The second unit did a great job of just basically grabbing the game from the Blazers and saying, you know what, this thing's over. And I asked Jamal, too. I said, is this better than the Tribe Called Bench? Because this bench has been, you know, so important to kind of preserving Jamal.
You're talking about Jamal Crawford, number 1 in your hearts, number 11 in the scorecard. Scored 11 points last night, but a bigger story for us because we love this guy. He's Picasso. He's the artist. The court is his canvas. He was named the 6th man of the year for the first time ever in NBA history. Somebody did it 3 times. Guess who held the record for oldest guy to win 6th man of the year?
Jamal Crawford.
That's right. And now he broke his own record.
And Kevin McHale was there at the ceremony.
It was an incredible ceremony.
No, but the second ceremony at Staples. Kevin McHale was there.
Yes. The ceremony they did at the facility was incredible. Was epic. I wish you, the listener, could have been
there. I wish I was there. And I'm the biggest Picasso fan in the world.
In the business. Now, here's the thing, Jag. I was there.
Yeah, I know you were.
I put together a package that I want to share with you, Jaguar.
You painted a picture?
I painted an audio picture.
You just put a gallery together, right?
Tribute. A gallery tribute to Picasso, a.k.a. J. Crossover, a.k.a. Jamal Crawford. So sit back, kick up your heels, relax, and listen to Jamal's special day, your reigning 6th man of the year.
Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the LA Clippers Training Center in Los Angeles, California. It's great to have you with us for a very, very special day for the Clippers and their fans.
Jamal's impact on our team goes so far beyond what you can actually even see. You know, it's the things in the locker room, it's the calming presence on the bench, it's the steady hand. You know, in a lot of ways, this award, I think, is means so much to guys in this position because, you know, a lot of these guys that are six men can go anywhere and probably start on a lot of teams. You know, you look at James Harden getting six man of Oklahoma City and then goes to Houston. He's a star. You know, he's their best player. So, you know, I think we as a team value Jamal so much, but it's great to see him get that recognition from other people for his impact on our team and on the game.
I'm longtime Clipper broadcaster Ralph Lawler. I welcome you today representing the 2015-16 Kia Sixth Man Award that goes to the league's best reserve in the entire league all season long.
Well, this season, over all the seasons, you know, he won it, what, 2 years ago? And he was huge, obviously. But I thought this year, at least for us and for me, this was his best year. We needed it. He's started four or five games. He's been off the bench. He's got that bench group playing great. I think he's changed this game a little bit. He's moving more without the ball. You know, it's not all ISO Jamal anymore. It's team Jamal. And I think his, you know, when you look at a guy at his age, that is still improving. I just think it says why he's the sixth man of the year.
And now a player who brings instant offense off the bench. He was absolutely as good as it gets. Historically, he becomes the only player in NBA history to win this coveted award as many as three times. The 2015-16 Kia NBA Sixth Man of the Year, Jamal Crawford.
It's always weird being up here by yourself, honestly, because this is truly a team award. Like, if you think about it, you know, I made some shots, but I couldn't have done it if Doc didn't draw plays or if I didn't get the ball in the right spot for my teammates or picks where he's at. I thank the voters, obviously. You know, you guys saw me fit to win this award, and I appreciate it. I don't take it for granted. The Clippers organization, you know, from our training staff who keeps us on the court healthy, to our strength and conditioning staff who keep us prepared for an 82-game schedule, to our PR people who do a great job bringing awareness to the things we do on and off the court, community relations, everybody. Like, it truly is a team award. It's not just about me. Like I said it in some of my bigger games, you guys can go back and look. It's never about that one person. I don't care if you're in an individual sport or not. It's a total team effort. I thank Doc Rivers because, honestly, he's never tried to change me. He's embraced me for who I am and his staff, but they made me a better all-around player in the process, you know, and I don't know anybody, I'm not trying to brag or anything, I don't know anybody in their 16th year who is still willing to learn and still have good people around them to teach them the game. And I thank my family, I really do. They've always supported me no matter what. My friends, they supported me no matter what. My wife, she's truly like the MVP of our household because she deals with everything. She knows how obsessive I am about basketball. Like, I've loved this since I was 2 years old and I would never cheat the game, like, ever. I've never cheated the game. I play every single day of my life. I dreamed about being in this position. I used to listen to music. Like, I wonder if pros listen to that music. You know, whatever it was to be in this position. So I just don't take it for granted. Like, I've truly given my life to basketball. I really have. And I thank God to be in this position. I thank God every single night. I really do. I thank my teammates. They were just as happy about this as I was, if not more happy. Every single one. I've been on, you know, five or six different teams, but the Clippers have truly been like a home to me. You know, and I crave that, you know, and I love it. And I'm not taking it for granted. And I'm very, very thankful to Doc and his staff. Like I said, they made me a better basketball player. And that's very rare to start, to continue to get better after 16 years. And I never envisioned myself being a sixth man. You know, I started my whole life. And I actually got to Coach Woodson in Atlanta. And he was like, you know, we have our core group in place, but your role is just as important, if not more important. So go lead the league and scoring off the bench. We need that, you know, and at that point, I didn't want to be known as a good player on bad teams. I didn't want to be a guy who scored 20 points on losing teams. I wanted to win. So at that point, I said, I'll change the course of my career and where it's going, and I'll get in the sixth man. And then I saw the importance of it. If you look over the years with Ginobili in San Antonio, or Harden in OKC, or Jason Terry with the Dallas Mavericks, or Kevin McHale, all those great players, they believed in something bigger than themselves. And for me, I've never made an All-Star game. You know, I've always had my peers and coaches respect around the league. So for me, at the end of the day, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, I just wonder, like, will the new fan remember me? You know what I mean? Will they remember what I did in the game? And hopefully it was in a positive nature, and hopefully this is one of the things that a kid that's coming up, maybe, you know, 19 years old, like, hey, I don't have to start. I can still have an impact on the bench, because starting is the cool thing, obviously, and everybody wants to do it. We've all done it. So hopefully it can inspire a new generation of players. The way I look at it is, and I try to explain it this way, is if I took a lot of time off, if I took off, you know, 3 months or 2 months to try to recover, it's almost like if you leave your house, you know, for 9 months for a job, and then you come back in, you try to turn on the lights, they start popping, the car may not start. So I figure if I keep my muscles firing and I just keep it going, and I stay with young players, I don't feel like age is an excuse. I think a lot of people age themselves, are like, oh, I'm 35 or 38 or whatever, and they get that in their mind, and that's where it starts. So for me, I just keep things going, keep things from young as possible, and I feel great. Honestly, before I came here, Boston, one of the teams that has somewhat interest, I'm like, man, I don't know if I can play for Doc Rivers, like, you know, he's a champion and a winner and all that. So him coming from him, it's like obviously I'm grown, but I have some kid-like ways. Sometimes I need that. My teammates are great at that. Like, come on, man, you got to turn it up. You can do it. You know, and I need that, those words of encouragement. So when Doc said that on Christmas, like, you know, I need you to start being a little bit more aggressive. That's what I needed to hear. You know, and that's what, I've had 17 coaches, and he's the best at that as far as, he knows the pulse of the team, not just for me, but all our guys. He knows exactly what buttons to push, what we need to, you know, a pat in the back, and what we need to really turn it up. So he kind of figured that and felt that, and it paid off for us. Consistency is one of the things for longevity. I think if you're consistent over your career, I always try to pride myself on that. I think that's one of the keys to having longevity and having a long career. So I just try to stay with that formula, try to be as consistent as possible, try to do what's asked of me, and try to do it better. And I think with that, long-term,
it'll pay off. Brian Seaman, voice of the Los Angeles Clippers. What does Jamal Crawford mean to the team, to the city, to the game of basketball?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, you know, to do what he's doing at the age that he's doing at, the role that he's accepted tells you a lot about his ability to play the game at a high level. As far as a teammate goes, and I've had the great fortune to be around him since 2012, you know, Ralph just said it, that he's a great player. I'm telling you, off the air, away from cameras, this is one of the best guys I've ever been around. He once sent a video message to my mother after she was in the hospital, wishing her well. When I saw this come through this morning, I honestly felt like a fan, and I was truly excited only for Jamal, because I know the sacrifices that he puts in, and I know what he brings to the table. I love the guy. He's one of my favorite players ever.
They say nice guys finish last. It's just not true with this guy. This guy, one of the nicest guys in all of sports, just one of the nicest guys, period. And look at this guy now with 3 awards. Did they really just name the award after him? Did that just happen?
Can I be honest? I don't think they did. I think they just said it as kind of like a, you know, we should do this. But right. In 10 years, it will happen. And the interesting part is, I feel in 10 years, Jamal will have a chance to win his own award. You know, that's how long I think he can play. He's got another 5 years. I tell you what, I'd love to see him play, because he could become the all-time leader off the bench in points scored. I think it'd be a tough mark for anybody else to surpass. So if he can keep it going for another 3 years, I think it would happen. And then I think he already is the greatest bench player of all time, but that would make it official for everybody else as well.
Do you think Jamal one day put on, you know, look in your crystal ball, Jamal Crawford Hall of Fame?
See, that's a great question, because maybe a year ago it was wishful thinking. This puts him in another category. The first to do anything in this league is often recognized in that kind of way. And I'm hopeful. I think this certainly puts him in the conversation. And when you get to veterans committees and things like that, you know, these guys love him, and everybody's loved playing with him, and I think they do identify with that. So I'm going to say yes.
It honestly hasn't hit me. It really hasn't. I'm such a fan and student of the game. I think one day when I retire, I'll be able to sit back and look at that. And I'm thankful for it now and humbled by it, but I'll really be able to soak it in. You know, then it's a very, very humbling experience.
Jamal, you got the award tonight in front of the crowd. What was that like?
It was unbelievable. Our crowd has been great, not only this year, but every year I've been here, and I know they've been great before that. We have a lot of loyal Clipper fans, so it's always nice to get something some type of award like that in front of them. It's a blessing. It really is. I didn't, like, going back to the summer and beginning of the season, I didn't expect to be in this position again. Not from an age standpoint, but like you said, the two guys we added, along with Paul Pierce, along with Pablo and Cole, all that talent, I knew I would have to take a step backwards for the group to go forward. So I didn't think I'd be in this position. To win it is such a blessing. And I think it says more about the people around me as well, because we have such a good bench. We have great coaches, and they're all rooting for me to be successful, and they embrace me for Ryan.
Jamal, you talked about how the bench picked it up for the starters tonight. What's it going to be like when everything kind of clicks?
Oh, it'll be scary. It really will, because we feel like we have two starting units. We really do, and maybe three if you look at it. So I think depth is one of our strengths of our team. We're using that going forward. It doesn't wear the starters out. They feel fresher, you know, towards the end of the games, and they have a lot of confidence in us.
Does this rival the Tribe Called Bench a few years ago?
We'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see. I'll have answers for you in the summer, after June.
I like that. Has having the balance with this bench help you kind of preserve yourself, too, and know to pick your battles here and there?
It's a lot easier picking my spots when, and I'm encouraging those guys to be aggressive, because the more aggressive they are, eventually it'll be easier for me at some point. And for our bench, you know, our job is to extend leads and continue to make it as easy as possible on the starters. Give them some kind of breathing room, you know what I mean? Sometimes they're not going to have it to start the game. That's part of life. And for us, they trust us that we can extend the lead and get them on track.
Maturity and focus are like two of the things that this team's been talking about. How important is it to go into Portland up 2-0 and just knock their heads off?
It's very important to take it one game at a time. Obviously, for us, we didn't do anything but do what we were supposed to as far as protecting home court. They say a series doesn't start until somebody wins on the other person's home court. So for us, it's our job to go in there and try to win the next game. Don't try to split. Try to win this particular game. And I'm sure there'll be a raucous crowd. They're always passionate, even when it's the regular season, so I know how it'll be in the playoffs.
Intense Jaguar question to crossover. I like it, Jack.
Well, it's the truth. I mean, yeah. remember 3 years ago against Memphis. 2-0.
Yes, lose four straight.
I mean, granted,
that's a different situation.
It's a different team and a different situation.
But that was the Tribe Called Bench.
Yes, mm-hmm. That was a similar bench to what we have now.
And that was Jamal Crawford, the king of the bench, who got the sixth man that year.
No, got it the next
you're right.
year.
You're
got
right. it you're absolutely
next
right.
Yeah.
And speaking of corrections, here's a cool thing, right? So what I learned is, you know, the first time Jamal Crawford got the sixth man of the year, it was under Coach Woodson. It was under yes. Coach Woody in Atlanta. Then he wins it again with assistant Coach Woody. Now he's won it twice with Coach Doc Rivers. Doc thinks he's even better this season than he was when he won it 2 years ago. How cool is that, that the guy won it basically three times with, you know, in a way,
in like a 5-year span, basically.
Same two yeah. coaches, basically. You know, I think it's fantastic. And my hat's off to Jamal. But speaking of corrections, Jaguar, we have some serious corrections. Last
Wes,
clip,
Kevin. Wes Johnson.
Not
the only Wes.
Yes, not Wesley from Mr. Belvedere. Not Wesley Crusher from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, God.
Okay?
Wesley
Johnson. Okay? We called him Wes Matthews. You called him Wes Matthews. I don't remember. Somebody did. So, correction. We know Wes Johnson. We love Wes Johnson. He's been fantastic.
We just call him Wes. Well, Wes and Jeff Green bring another dimension. Again, we talked for basically the last few years about not having enough wings.
It was just, his wings. We got wings.
Yeah. And Wes. Mr. Jeff Green.
Wing.
Yes.
Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce.
Wing.
Luke.
Wing.
Wing.
Other correction. I said you look like Terry Stotts. I confused my coaches. Once again, I only know about the Clippers. I don't know about the away team. You don't look a thing like Coach Terry Stotts. You look like the Memphis Grizzlies coach.
Oh, I look like him?
Like exactly like him. You're his doppelganger.
I know.
If Kurt Warner and David Jurger, or whatever his name is, Coach
Jaeger.
Coach Jurger. If Coach Jurger and Kurt Warner had a Jurglin.
At the Jurgensons?
Yes. Dude, you
down
look.
Down in Jurgerville?
I mean.
In Clipperville?
I don't think you were at that Memphis game, were you?
Yes.
No one's ever seen you yes. and Coach Dave Jurger in the same room at the same time, Jag.
No, because it's
Jaguar, Jurger, Jaeger, Jaeger, Jaglin, very similar. So that's a correction. I said you look like Stotts. You look nothing like Stotts.
I don't.
Nothing.
I don't.
So I rescind that. We're human beings. We are not Clipper
but
robots.
But we will agree that Rick Carlisle does look like Jim Carrey.
He is Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he is the mask, right?
Smoking.
Yeah, exactly. If any millennials get that.
Righty then. And then no movies recently. All right, so.
Showtime movie. Showtime show.
You had a chance to go down by the rivers.
Yeah, and it's always
in like playoff beast mode right now.
That's what I love about Austin. Yeah. It's just he is who he is.
Right.
And we're seeing playoff Austin.
So much less pressure on him to perform. He's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
We're still going to get a big game from him.
Yeah, and
maybe in Portland.
He's had what, 13-9 already?
That's what I'm saying. But yeah.
He's going to have a 25er.
Yes, he is.
And
maybe in Portland. Maybe in Oakland.
Oh, and he's not backing down.
No,
I mean he really isn't.
Well, that's the thing is, when Chris Paul goes to the bench, all of a sudden Austin Rivers comes in to guard that explosive backcourt, that Splash Brothers light, the Diet Splash Brothers of CJ and Baby Hooper,
the Diet Coke.
Yeah, so it's like. We have these great guard defenders. Luke can come out and guard the two, mm-hmm. you know? So Chris Paul and Austin Rivers can guard the one. We have defense, defense, defense. Defense wins championships. Defense wins Larry's. I think this is our year. And we got to go through a real murderer's row to get there.
Well, I mean, we'll worry about that when we get there.
Let's go down by the rivers.
Let's do it.
Let's go right now.
So with the playoffs here, do you change anything from regular season?
Nah, man. Continue to do the same things we've been doing all year, man. Just have a high focus. If anything, you just try to focus even more. Just attention to detail is higher. So just things like that.
Do you do more studying game by game because it is a series compared to an 82-game season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we know their sets more. You got more time to know their plays and whatnot. So that's kind of key, I think, is just focusing on stuff like that.
And for you, tendencies, you have McCullough and Lillard. What do you do scouting-wise on that?
You just try to watch what they do, you know, which way they like to drive, which way – they like to shoot, their sets that they're mostly involved in, just stuff like that just gives you a better chance as a team just to slow their better players down.
Second unit wise, you have the sixth man of the year, Jamal's third time. What is it like playing with Jamal?
Oh man, it's amazing, man. Just to know someone at his age is still playing at that high of a level. And, you know, he plays like he hasn't aged a bit and really has it the way he plays, so it's been pretty fun to watch him play.
What have you learned from Jamal playing with him the last couple seasons?
I just think, confidence, things that he really lives and plays by. I mean, you think about the amount of difficulty of shots that he takes, the volume of difficulty at each shot. You know, he takes a lot of tough shots, never gets discouraged. You know, he always stays confident and believes in himself. So that's something I've learned.
How important is it for you, like, to take it game by game in the playoffs, yet learn from what happened in the previous one?
We're not even thinking about what happened in the previous playoffs. That's a fucking year ago, man. We got a whole different team.
No, I'm talking about game by game.
Oh.
Yeah, from game one to game two to game three.
I mean, it's we just
each series is basically a new chapter, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we just focus on the new game. We just know you got to win four. You can't do it without winning the second, third, so. Our focus right now is to understand that this is going to be a tough game, and we're going to come in here and try to do the same thing we did yesterday, last game, but even at a higher intensity. The thing is, we felt like we didn't play our best basketball last game, so we're going to play even harder tonight.
Do you have a new tattoo on your forearm?
Yeah, I've had these for about a couple months.
What is it?
This is something that means a lot to me. I don't want to share it really. And then this is just Jesus Christ.
Awesome, Austin. Again, it's always a pleasure.
Right, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Jack, talk to me about the schedule. We may not come back to Staples Center next week for Game 5, possibly. TBD to be determined. What do we know for sure?
We know that Game 3 is going to be like a Game 7 for them.
In Portland?
Mm-hmm.
Saturday?
Saturday,
7:30. All these games are 7:30.
I know.
I love that.
It's funny because the Clippers schedule, last game of the playoffs on Sunday.
Right.
Then last game of game twos on Wednesday.
Right.
And then we get into this, okay, Saturday, then it goes every other day.
Mm-hmm.
So
Saturday, Monday, TBD, pos Wednesday.
Yeah.
Pos week off, day off.
Pos week from Saturday or Sunday.
When, I mean, can I look?
No, okay. You can't. You can't even think about it yet. We gotta go to. We gotta eat our voodoo donuts. Dan Wyke and Narash need to go wine tasting.
Right. And Ben Bolch is going too.
Oh, look at that!
It's a whole bunch of jerks.
They're going.
They're going to Taster's Choice.
They're going to do Taster's Choice.
Oregonian wine, Jack.
Rowan's probably going to join them.
I don't think Rowan's 21 yet, Jack.
Oh, I don't know. Rowan, you're 21.
Did you see that tweet?
Yes.
One of our friends, Clipper Girl, took a picture of her television from NBA TV, and it just looks like I have a huge crush on Rowan Kavner. But here's the thing, folks. He had just said, in my defense, something very, very charming and amusing about my guy, Jamal Crawford, and I was just beaming from pride at that event. I loved that event. And our good friend, Jean, took this picture, and literally she said, I actually took a bunch of pictures because I wanted to get you smiling. So Rowan said, I should be so lucky if anyone ever looks at me that way again for the rest of my life. My wife said, how come you don't look at me like that? But anyway, it was such a great event. Rowan's hilarious. He's going tasting with Bolch and Wyke and Markazi. Up in Oregonian vineyards.
Probably going to the employee stores and...
Sure, get their Nike, get their kicks.
Yeah, but we're going to see...
You're not going up.
No, not.
Why not, Jack?
Gonna lay low.
Okay.
Gonna lay low, you know.
Okay.
We've got a lot going on.
Fair enough. Threatened making the trip.
I was close. We were close.
Wife put her foot down.
No, it was had nothing to do with wife on foot down.
Sounds like the Jaguar put his paw down? oh, no.
That's Busty putting about Lord. This week on sound effects. I know. But
looking ahead.
Game three. We're going to see them come blazing, right?
Yeah. Look, I'm going to go back to Jack Stradamus, who said Clippers in five. Wild Stradamus said Clippers in four. You can't go 4-0 without going 2-0. So we're halfway there. You sticking with this Clips in five?
I am. I'm going to stick with the Clips in five. Again, it's not a series until you win a game on the opposing team's floor.
Right.
So I still think that
how great the Warriors, we did last year in San Antonio.
The Blazers.
No,
the Warriors
how great
are next
the
year.
Clippers did last year.
They were down
3-2. In San Antonio.
Yeah, down 3-2.
We won like a couple games.
Yeah.
In the Rodeo Arena.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, we know we're good in the postseason on the road with last year's team when we had... What was it, 7.5 guys I decided? Now we've got 11 guys, 12 guys, 13 guys.
13 guys.
I like us, Jack. I like us getting our brooms out.
It would be great.
I like us getting our Swiffers out.
And you know, looking at, like, Blake Griffin's, you know, progression, too, he's getting the most practice because of the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's practiced, what, like five or six times by the time, you know, Saturday comes around.
That's right.
And that's a lot more than what he was doing, like, leading up to coming back from the injury.
Absolutely.
So
they didn't play him every game.
No.
He's still undefeated, folks.
But practice-wise, their schedule was so scattered, I think he only had a couple practices.
What I'm gathering from Portland is this team is, like you said earlier in the show, they're just kind of ahead of the curve. They're doing better than they should, right? Kind of like
Neil O'Shea. They have our old guy,
incredible.
Neil O'Shea. He's done a great job.
Phenomenal.
One of the best GMs in business
yeah.
by far. He built this team.
He sure did. Here's what I'm seeing. They did better than anybody expected in the regular season because they beat the teams they should have beat, and then they shocked the world and beat the Warriors that one time, right? I think reality is catching up to these guys. They'll be lucky to win one versus this team, the Los Angeles Clippers, the LA Clippers, that is just overmatching them right now.
Well, and I think that's what the Clippers are really starting to realize is that
41
with their focus and maturity, that
laser focus.
They've been down this road.
They don't want it.
You don't want to create this massive thing that you've seen in the past, down up 2-0 against the Grizzlies, up 3-1 against the Rockets.
Sure.
It's foot down time.
That's right.
You got to put your clip down.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't allow a young
team. Let's just talk Doc Rivers' teams. Remember, Golden State came in and stole game one 2 years ago, right?
When Chris should have went to the line for that non-call in game one.
Game two, we destroyed the Warriors by 40.
Mm-hmm.
Took us 7 to beat them, okay? 7. Yep. Took us 7 to beat the Spurs last year in round one. We all know we can get out of round one. It's about getting out of round two. But what will help is getting out of round one in 4
unscathed.
Or 5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't want this going more than 5 because then, again, confidence. They're young guys.
They're very young.
And
24 and 25.
They're going to have a lot of cap space, and they're going to
be good next season, yeah. season after. But the West is tough. Look at that OKC-Dallas series, man.
I know. That's why facing Dallas would have been a tough matchup. You never know what All-Star game you're going to get.
That's right.
I mean, that's a 2008 All-Star team, basically.
I don't think we've ever played Dallas in the postseason.
No.
I know we've only played Portland twice. Two more coming up in P-Town
this what you're hoping for.
Weekend, Saturday and Monday, 7:30 p.m. Pacific.
Viewing party at Staples, too.
What?
Yes, there is a viewing party.
Which game?
For game three.
Get out of the city.
Yes.
No way wife lets me do that.
Oh,
there's
no.
There's no possible way.
Well, you're out too late.
I know. I took her away to Ojai for the weekend for her birthday last weekend.
Also got the in-laws in town.
I know, but I should have leverage to be able to go
actually,
to this fan viewing party.
Yes.
I have no leverage, Jack.
She should be driving you to the fan viewing party.
She should be my personal Lyft?
Yes. She should.
Can
yes.
you call her and tell her that?
I will.
No, you won't.
I will.
John, we may have to get a new co-host next week if you do that. Should we sound the horn?
Okay.
We're up 2-0. We're looking great going to Portland. Let's keep it going. Let's keep that coal train going.
Cliplandia.
Whoop, whoop.